let y'all. Okay, in the Bible, turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. We may have us a singer next Sunday. A lady called me. We use her on our radio program from time to time. They used to be come out here to church, but her husband passed away, and she lives now at Little River. But she talked to me yesterday, so she might sing for us a couple of songs next Sunday, Lord willing. Who? Yeah. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And verse 9. Now, y'all know that the book of Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, right? So I was great, Solomon said, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Now flip over to chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 5. Same writer. And he came forth, verse 15. He came forth of his mother's womb. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor. Think about that now. How hard you've worked, you ain't going to take anything with you. Which he may carry away in his hand. That's the wisdom writer telling us. He said, I was a great man when I was alive. Boy, he was, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, he tells us about all the knowledge he acquired and all kind of, in all kind of events, occupations, arts. The book of Ecclesiastes is telling us about a man that lives in this world. And may the Lord bless. Ecclesiastes is telling us how life is under the sun. And today I'm going to talk about, with you, luxurious living. Luxurious living. When I go by the gas station and stop to get gas, I go in there to pay the bill. Often there's people in line ahead of me buying lottery tickets. Then I ride down the road a ways and I pass several places where there's a number of cars at these computer gambling places. We got so many people today who want to get rich without working. Did you know you can't take a shortcut in serving God? Did you know that, brother? There's no shortcut to serving God. I believe I read in the Bible, one of the commandments in the Bible is, 6 days shalt thou 6 days work be done, and but on the seventh there shall be as to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. In other words, the Lord said in his word, and he's not rescinded that in the New Testament, you're supposed to work 6 days and go to church on Sunday. Amen. Amen. Now that's what he says. This is a commandment. This commandment wasn't just given to one person. Did you know God never changed that? You're supposed to work 6 days. Oh, you're on the job maybe 5 days, but you got work to do on Saturday, hadn't you? You got to clean up the house. You got to cook supper for the old man. Amen? 6 days we're to do our work. Then on Sunday, we're supposed to be in church. On time. Amen? Second Thessalonians 3:10. You ought to have this verse marked in your Bible. Paul wrote, "For even when we were with you at the church," now this is a church, "this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Now, is that kind of stiff? Is that unchristian? No, that's the word of God. If you're not willing to work, don't eat. Today we have millions of people who are of working age who never work. That's the reason there's so much shooting in our communities. Stealing, robbing, mischievousness. People's not working. They're up to mischief. They're the devil's workers. Some we know are not able to work, and that God understands. When somebody is providentially hindered from because of health issues. But we have literally millions of people who refuse to work because they're sorry, low-life people, folks. Listen, I'm just plain spoken. I don't need to make it sound flowery. I guess that's why we don't have a church filled with people. I'm not going to compromise. It might surprise you to know of many who are working in plotting evil, in robbing, stealing, and cheating. That's the way they work. The Bible talks about them laying in their beds at night plotting. A curse they are to society. And we got a lot of them today. They make their money that way and pay no taxes. Many of us who are the senior citizens today were raised in a day when there was no electricity. We cooked on a wood stove and heated the house from a fireplace or wood heater in a house with no insulation in it. We had to travel in a mule in a wagon before our parents could afford a car with no heater on it. We put our fresh milk from a cow in a 20-foot well to keep it cool. We didn't have no other way. All of our food was grown on the farm except for sugar, coffee, and a few other items. We got our water, as I was saying, we got our water from a hand pump on the back porch that often had lost its prime. And I've seen Daddy, when the packing was wore out, take an old shoe and make a packing to make the pump work. We had no income at all. Get this, folks. There was no income at all until the crops were sold in the fall. 11 months, no money was coming in. The government, listen to me, the government in no way ever helped my parents or anybody else I knew of in those days we were growing up. The government offered nothing. So today I resent all this free hand outs to the poor who will not work. I resent it. because we worked 6 days a week. We went to church on Sunday when I was growing up, and we were never hungry. Our parents went to town only a couple of times a year because we lived 8 miles from town. We spent every day, 6 days a week in the fields, plowing, hoeing, raking, poisoning, gathering in crops. It was our way of life. When the crops were sold, we got a pair of shoes to wear in the wintertime because we went barefooted in the summer. We got a pair of overalls and a shirt and maybe a coat to wear in the wintertime. This was the way life was for most people in our community during my upbringing. Every Sunday we were all in church. And we learned to love the Lord and the church life. And I remember now, even back, I can still feel that same feeling that I had as a little boy in a card room class, how I love Jesus. I still have that feeling, loving the Lord when I was just a little younger. You know, everybody ought to have that. Learn to love the Lord when you're a young'un. Amen? But you got to keep nurturing it. You got to keep staying under the Word. Keep fanning the flames. Looking back today, I know we had the best life because we learned to work together as a family and respect other people. In the 50s, electricity appeared on the scene and appliances and a car, but a bigger farm. A bigger farm to tend with a tractor and 3 mules. Keep all of us busy, amen. Still, we went to church every Sunday. In the 60s, the Democrats passed the Great Society Law. And people began to be given checks for not working. It seems a lot of people were no longer willing to work, so the government began to send out checks. I'm telling you the truth now. Some people are satisfied to just sit around and draw some government check with unmarried women producing children from men who do not work or support the children they father. And we got a crowd of that today. Many of these people are living in apartments or housings provided by the government, taxpayers. The government don't have any money, folks. They take our money. And these apartments are furnished with appliances and furniture. Need I tell you that they're given cards to purchase the food they eat? Just hand them a card. My Social Security card don't work, though. They won't take it. Their grocery buggies are piled high with steaks and roast and meats and goodies I've never been able to buy. They live in luxury to what I was raised in, and even now, when I see a penny on the ground, even if it's been run over till it's wore thin, I'll pick that penny up. Well, he was raised the same way I was, sister. My wife's as bad as me. The other day we were going to Walmart's. We spied a penny on the ground, and you ought to see both of us going down together to get that one penny. We like to have a wreck with our heads going together to get it. So how was that penny? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, I've been raised poor. In fact, my poor even got poor. Amen? I ain't complaining. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. In Luke 12 and 22, you know what Jesus said, though? These are wise words from the Lord. Luke 12, beginning at verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have a storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowl? If God will feed the birds," God said, "I'll take care of you." Now he's talking to his disciples. That's a key word, disciples, people that's living for the Lord. Amen. If we'll live for the Lord, the Lord will take care of us. Amen. It don't mean it'll be easy. I tell you, when life is hard, it's designed to draw you to the Lord. It makes you see how little and helpless you are. I can't make people come to church out here. God put me out here. I'm going to stay till he gets rid of me. I'm not trying to be funny nor please people. I'm trying to encourage people, love the Lord, serve the Lord. When times get hard, God makes a way. Today, someone can hire a lawyer and soon a disability check for the backache or a headache. Today, so many people are on drugs and they claim they're not able to work because the drugs has affected them mentally. Folks, you'd be surprised. Or maybe you're not surprised. Our government just keeps finding ways to give the people the money that people like me and my parents and you have worked for. Just give it to somebody. Be it humane, they claim. Now we have all the illegal people coming. Boy, isn't that exciting. Coming into our country, you know what? They want a better life. Well, I wanted a better life too, but I had to work for it, Brother Chavis. This country does offer a better life. But it's better because we worked to make it better. Many of us served in the military. We did without and worked all the time to make this country better, obeying the laws of the land. Amen. So why can't these illegal people work and serve to make their country better? This country didn't get better all of a sudden. They was cost. Somebody has paid to make this country better. Am I making sense? A better country does not just happen. It takes people working, sacrificing, praying, dying, suffering, and obeying the laws of God to make a better country. Can I get an amen? Amen. God put us here in our country, and he put them in their country. Why do we have to give to all these people here and abroad what they can have if they would live like we had to live and by working? Living right and serving God has got give us what we've got today. These people want a shortcut. They want to give to them. Do I sound un-Christian? In the Bible, God told the landowners to leave the corners of the field of the grain for the poor. Remember how Ruth had to go out in Boaz's field and go around the corners? But Boaz seen that pretty woman and said, "Hey, y'all start leaving some extra." But the point is, the law was around the corners of the field had to be left for the poor. But you know what? They had to go get it themselves. It weren't picked and give to them. They were supposed to work to get it if they were poor. They weren't getting a handout. Today, the poor goes to the mailbox and it's waiting on them. I don't want to call them poor. I just want them to call it most of them sorry. That's what I want to call them. Look at past history at the people who have lived in hard times. You know where Adam and Eve lived after they got thrown out of the Garden of Eden? You know where they lived at? In a cave. How'd you like to live in a cave tonight? There's a lot of people living in caves right now. In the world, there are many places where people are hungry and they're starving and life is miserable. Why? Because their government is greedy, selfish men and women enslaving the people for their own benefit. People need to stop and think about this country. This country was really founded by godly men and women. God sent the pilgrims over here, escaping persecution in their country. They came here as godly men and women to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they came. They were fleeing religious persecution. There was not even a permanent building over here when they came. Not a permanent building anywhere. And they began to build buildings. And slowly the country began to grow until today we have great cities and skyscrapers that spread across this land from the Atlantic to the Pacific. But this land that once was more spiritual, boy, we're at the point of falling apart right now. Because we've become so prosperous, we've become so rich as a nation, we think we no longer need God. We are educated. We know how to succeed. That's a devil's lie. A devil's lie. Today, by the grace of God, we're the greatest nation in the world, but how long will it last? I've mentioned before, and you may have heard, we're at the state right now that any evil government can send up a satellite and disarm our electrical system that would be down for a year and this country wouldn't survive a year. That's how close we are to being completely destroyed. And God can allow it any time. Yesterday I went to a funeral, two young people. They were doing fine. They were going down the road enjoying life. Everything was well. And in one instance, they were corpses. Life is like that everywhere. Life is uncertain. You can be cut down anytime, anywhere, by any means. From a physical malfunction to some kind of outward function. Folks, we need to realize there is a God that we're all accountable to. And the good news is this God loves us so much that He sacrificed His only Son for us. And it ought to motivate us to love Him and serve Him. Listen, I'm going to heaven and I know it. I can't hardly wait to get there. Man, it's going to be something. I've started longing to see Mom and Dad again. I saw my son this week. It was good to talk with him. We got to stay focused on the Lord, church. I was trying to think the other day all the different people that I've known in our family that were known to be Christian people. Boy, it's going to be something to see these people, Brother Chavis. It's going to be something. I got a little sister who lived 24 minutes. Me and Junior never got to see her. I remember when she died, I was about 3 years old or so, four. I remember that. It's faint, but I remember it. Never got to see her. My dad built a little pine box for her. Now we got all kind of problems in this country. We've become full of luxury. Look at all those homes out in California today. $1 million plus homes being consumed. The Bible says in the tribulation, every piece of grass and tree is going to burn up. Now, I thought that was bad, brother. Folks, the reason all this is going on, all these floods and storms and the volcanoes and all this, somebody's not right in this country. As of now, all kind of problems because we forgot God as a nation. There's one thing I am so thankful for about our president's administration. They do keep praying in the White House now. It's kind of been puzzling with all the people that's been praying for the past election. God didn't see fit to give it to us, Brother Chavis. And I doubt there was any prayers on the other side. So I'm wondering how God's going to make that turn out good, but I know He will. I know He will. We got all kind of problems in our nation. You know, we're over $21 trillion in debt. And we're spending more money than we're taking in. Folks, I can't operate like that at my house. I can't spend more than I take in. But our government's doing that. We got people in this country right now has no better sense than to think the government can start up a machine and just make money and send it out. They think that. You got to have something to back up that money they're sending out. And we're over $21 trillion, don't have enough to back it up. We've had to borrow it. Are y'all listening? Yeah, we got people. These people are getting a handout. Well, all they got to do is just print out more money. They believe that. If that works, I'm going to get me one of them machines. Amen? Today, most of this country has a better life than what some of us had growing up. And it is often given to them without work. They got it and they didn't even work for it. They wasn't none of them know what it is to walk behind a mule with her stomach upset. Not everyone thinks they deserve a... Now everyone thinks they deserve a life of luxury like that described by the prophet Amos. Turn in Amos. We don't ever go to Amos too much. But we need to go to Amos and mark this verse. Amos chapter 6. In Amos chapter 6, I want you to make sure you can find, I'm giving you a little bit of time to turn over there, because Amos is known as a country preacher, folks. God did have a country preacher. I told you, Amos chapter 6, I told you about some of you. I told Brother Chavis about it last night. He kind enough to call me. I told Brother Chavis last night I used to have a guy that supported our radio ministry when I first started on a little old radio station there outside of Red Springs. And this guy wasn't even saved, but he was supporting my pastor that had a radio broadcast 5 days a week. And so when he moved to Virginia, they let me take over his radio program. And I didn't know nothing but John 3:16. But anyway, I was on the radio preaching away, and somehow or another this guy running a little old country store that was supporting us, not a saved man, he heard me preaching, or trying to. I'm still trying, Lord. When I went to collect the money to help pay the bill the next time, you know what he said to me? He said, "Preacher, you sound just like a cornfield preacher." A cornfield preacher. You know what? He got saved later on. Praise God. Amen. He had a godly wife, but he just didn't live for the Lord. Amos 6 talks about them that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches, and they eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. They chant to the sound of the vowel and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief of ointments. Amos is describing the people living in luxury without God. Amen? Oh, I got it made. I got all this money. I got this big, nice mansion. I have this high position. I'm somebody. Without Jesus Christ, you're a beggar. You're a beggar. And don't know it, but you'll find out. Amen? You sure will. It seems to me that most people, and even church people, have forgot why they're here. You know why you're in this world? God put you here for Himself. I keep trying to remind you of this. You're not here to do what you want to do. We're here to do what God wants us to do. God puts it in our heart. God is selecting out of this world a people to be His forever, to live in an eternal paradise. That's when luxury living is going to take place, amen? Anything less than heaven is going to be crumbs. Boy, I'm so glad God invited me, amen? God invited Noah into an ark to be saved from a flood. God's invited me into heaven to live forever. Where there won't be any more curses. What a God. Why would God let me be saved? Do you know you're saved? This world is not our home. We're just going to pass through. You can be cut off today. We're heading for an eternal city. Oh, I go over to Revelation 21 sometime and I just read where I'm going to be living at. Amen? Why are so many who say they are Christians trying to build an empire down here? You're going to leave it. You're going to leave it. Instead of trying to gain this world in fortune and fame, we're supposed to be serving the Lord Jesus with all of our heart and at the same time laying up treasures in heaven, folks. This does not mean we're not to use our talents to the fullest. But our goal is to promote Jesus Christ and not me. Too many want a $75,000 vehicle, a boat, a home at the beach, lake, mountains, wear the latest style of brand, best brand clothes, promoting how successful they are. Bible churches are suffering in funds, attendance, and workers because people are taking all of their riches and all of who they are and getting a little religion somewhere or nowhere. And all my life in going to church, I've always heard it said, there just is not enough workers in the church. Not enough people taking on a job. And it makes it hard. Makes it hard. Thank y'all that take on a job. Thank y'all. I appreciate it. The Lord will bless you for it. Too few people have time for anything related to the work of the Lord. Folks, we have to make time. He's the Lord. He's our life. Second Peter 3:18. Peter's last word to believers before they would crucify him upside down. He gives us these words, important words, precious words. Second Peter 3:18, but grow in grace. God's offering us grace. We don't deserve what we're going to get, folks. We can't earn what we're going to get. But we can show how thankful we are for what we're going to get. Amen? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To grow in knowledge, you've got to study the Bible. Got to hear the word. This morning, we heard David Jeremiah. Last night, we heard Bill Monroe. We also heard, saw a program on Billy Graham and his ministry and how it was first more or less established. Today, I'm going home, and at 2 o'clock, we'll hear Robert Jeffrey. Then we'll be hearing several others the rest of the day. Hearing the word, being challenged, but learning, growing. Growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to him be glory both now and forever. Amen, amen. Boy, when you see the Lord, you're going to have a time, folks. When you see the one that loved you so much, when we didn't deserve to be loved, God says in his word, there's not a thing in us he sees that's any good. Boy, that'll build up our pride, won't it? You might want to go find another church somewhere after all that. Amen. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians, this is a command in Philippians that Paul wrote, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but notice now, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I know some people teach that you got to hold on, hold out to go to heaven. That's not what that verse is saying at all. The Apostle Paul is saying, you've been saved? Now prove it by the way you live. Live for the Lord. Let him be number one in your life. Let him control your life. Serve the Lord. Be involved. Let me say this to you. Do not focus on living in luxury. Be satisfied with what God gives you. But serving Jesus Christ, one day all who are saved will live in a glorious luxury for eternity with the one who loved us so much he died so we could live with him. Now you talk about that's where luxury is going to be at. Amen. Hey folks, the pump won't ever leak down. Amen. Going to be a river of water of life ever flowing from the throne of God. Folks, we can't even begin to imagine what a time we're going to have, what a sight we're going to behold, what love we're going to experience. And time is getting close, I believe. I believe it. One day all who are saved will live in glorious luxury for eternity with the one that loved us so much. He was willing to die so we could live with him. Boy, that's something to think about. He didn't just fall asleep. He suffered. And he took upon himself the sins of all the world. And this was the worst thing that could happen to him. When he was separated from his father, and my sin caused it. I'm afraid we are in for some hard times ahead in this country. This country's forgot about God, folks. You look at this country, how divided it is. There's so much hate and anger and bitterness. And we as believers are becoming more despised and hated too. I want to read a passage in turning 2 Timothy. It was in the Sunday school lesson, but I'd already beat them to it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to read this from the Living Bible to make it a little bit more like our understanding. Paul wrote this to Timothy. You should know this, Timothy. that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Paul's referring to our day, the last days. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to parents. Have you ever heard so much children rebelling against their parents as we got today? Ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Look how we've been broken in this building, the times. And it's not just isolated to us. It's been other churches. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. On the way to church this morning, I seen a pickup. He was headed towards the beach with his boat. That's more important than God. They will act religious. Did you get that? Notice that. They're going to act religious. We got a lot of that today. I'll tell you what, God knows whether you're saved or not. You don't have to be acting. Not fooling God. But they will reject the power that could make them godly. I don't want to get saved. I want to do what I want to do. Stay away from people like that, Paul warns Timothy. Boy, that's a sobering passage of Scripture. And it's dealing without the days that we're living in. Y'all talking about a while ago, all the shootings going on. Shooting up your houses, cars, people themselves being shot. It's like almost like out west, ain't it? You know, the law cannot address all the crimes that are being committed today. Hate and anger is on the rise, along with lawlessness and ungodliness. Today, we heard two Amber Alerts. People being abducted. Children. Already. Two today. At any time, a gunman may walk in where you're at and begin shooting at random, killing as many as they can. These people down at this country club, drinking, dancing, minding their own business. It weren't the business of God, though, was it? And here this Marine walks in and just begins shooting. And you know where it was at? They had a security guard there. But you know, they wouldn't let the security guard, Johnny, have a weapon. He just stood there empty-handed. That's a lot of security, isn't it? That's how stupid we got leaders today. And we don't just have one or two like that. They're everywhere. Take weapons. Hey, if they took every weapon, that wouldn't stop killing folks. I bought my first weapon when I was 13. I cropped backer all year to get me a .22 rifle. You know, he's been sitting in over there in the corner or up on a rack ever since I was 13 years old. You know, he ain't never shot sitting over there, Brother Chavis. it has never gone off. But if I pushed off that safety on it, boy, he'd have cracked him out. Guns don't kill you. People kill you with a gun. I'm about through. Hebrews 4:17. For the time is coming that judgment must begin at the house of God. Woo! Judgment at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? We're going to the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be judged first. We're going to be judged as Christians if we are saved. We're going to be examined to see, since we were saved, how faithfully did I serve God? How hard did I work for the Lord? And then it'll be determined if you get a reward or not. I've said to y'all many times, God blesses us here today, but in heaven He'll reward us for how faithfully we served Him. Now, the unsaved people is going to be at the great white throne judgment. Won't be any saved people there at all. They'll be judged, though, to see how wicked they were, how many opportunities they had to get saved. All that be considered. And then they'll be cast into the appropriate place in the lake of fire for their eternal suffering. Luxuries are fine in their proper place. Somebody's getting an Amber Alert right now. Luxuries are fine in their proper place. It's nice to have conveniences. There's nothing wrong with conveniences. God likes to bless us. But living for luxuries should not be our goal. Living for our Savior and loving Him and being involved in His work is the most important thing we can do. Going back to the book of Ecclesiastes, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and listen to this verse in verse 8. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Everything outside of living for God is vanity. That word vanity means emptiness. I think about the people that's so blessed with wealth and power, opportunities. Oh, they're so educated. They're so privileged. And then they die and they beg for water for eternity. Start putting the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment. Read that. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God's not going to let anything be unnoticed. Everything's going to be exposed. And there's not anything anybody can do about it because He's God. Amen? Now, all of our sins as believers has been washed away. They'll never be brought up again. But we'll be judged to how faithfully we serve the Lord. And the unsaved, all of their life of sin will further condemn them into the lake of fire. How sad. Jesus Christ, church, died upon a cross for me. He died on the cross for you. He died because He loved you so much that He was willing to die. Are you willing to serve Him? Are you willing to love Him? Are you willing to obey Him? It's all by faith. It's all by, do you believe this book and what I just preached today? This book says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then he says, in all thy house. And that means that if you're saved, you can help get your rest of your house saved. Amen? By living a godly life before others. Let's be faithful in these days. There's so many things that's so discouraging. Oh, the devil works on me trying to discourage. Oh, he's a discourager. But listen, folks, we've got to keep trusting the Lord and loving the Lord and serving the Lord, sharing the Lord. Someone called me on, must have been Friday, first time they'd ever heard the broadcast. They live here in the county, but they'd never heard it. I said, it's been on for 45 years. I never heard it. They said, well, they heard the broadcast today, how they got chills all over them. I was preaching on when his judgment coming to America. It's coming. Amen. It's coming. God's tightening the screws down. I saw a picture on TV of California and the mountains, and it looked like a Christmas tree lighting, like, you know, all them fires are burning. Up in the Northeast, states up there are completely on drugs. They're drugged out. And this county we live in is pathetic. Pray, God, help us to be faithful in these days. Pray. Remember our salvation box. It's sad when people don't even know they're lost and their real condition before God. It's sad because the Bible says they're deceived. Lord God, thank you for the day. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for allowing me one more time to try to share, to encourage, to challenge. Lord, that we're not in this world to build a dynasty. You brought us here to love you and serve you, and you said you'd take care of us. Lord, look upon our church, Lord. We're few, we're small, but we belong to you, Lord. We trust you to make a way. Make us to be a blessing, Lord, a challenge, to encourage. And Lord, we'll just thank you for all that's accomplished because we know it's of your mercies and grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. May the Lord bless. Maybe you want to come this morning to the altar, talk to the Lord, pray for our country. Come pray for ourselves that we would get closer to the Lord.